Then seems like we've been in sort of like a mini revival type thing. You know, we've been telling Brother Josh this morning, you know, we've been coming to service like we had all these services. And leading up to getting into doing this, we had told everybody that it won't be a shortage on having something to do. And so as this thing builds, hopefully you'll see that you can, if you use just the Word of God, you can have as much gatherings and opportunity to share with family and friends, because a lot of times that was one of the things. So what are we going to do? You know, how are we going to get together? How many can see now you're going to have so many more opportunities? So don't trade off all the wonderful things God said you can do and wants you to do, which shows a picture of the Scripture, just for a couple of things. And so hopefully you've seen that. Well, tonight, I'm going to quickly go through some things on the eighth day. Let me give a correction on something. I may have announced this completely wrong, but we have time to correct it. Our service will be Wednesday night, not Thursday. Okay? Wednesday. So make the adjustment with the youth. It'll be Wednesday, not Thursday night. There will be no Thursday. No Thursday night service. It'll be Wednesday. That we'll have the eighth day. Okay? So when are we going to have the eighth day?
Wednesday.
Wednesday, not Thursday. No service on Thursday. So that's a correction. So everybody remember, that's going to be our time to come. We're going to have a big feast together. And we'll explain to you as much as I can about the eighth day tonight. I can't cover it all. Just to do the eighth day, if we look back in the history of it, it's a lengthy discussion, because it covers a lot of ground. And he treats that eighth day as completely, here you're going through the first day of Shabbat, it's a holy convocation, the first of the seven, and then all of a sudden he says, and on the eighth day. So you got to go back and tie in what's the significance of the number eight throughout the Scripture. And let me tell you, it is something. So let's see which slide I'm going to be on. I'll give you, go to 57. Slide 57. And we'll start right there. And let me give you some connections on the eighth day. And then we'll start getting prepared for that Wednesday night. Okay? Wednesday night. And we'll give you some more information on what you can do. If you're not on the text, receiving a text, make sure you let us know so we can get the information on Monday, Tuesday to you on what some of the other things we need to do to get ready for Wednesday. So we're going to look at the mystery of the Shemini Atzeret, or the Shemini Atzeret. The Atzeret, or the eighth day. This is what it would have been called. So if they would have been talking about it, they would have been talking about the Shemini Atzeret. Would have been what they would discuss. Now, we're talking in English, it's the eighth day. So I'll refer to that back and forth, and I want to look at that mystery. And the reason is because if you look at it in Leviticus, it says, and on the eighth day. Well, it's our job as to study, as Bible students, studying the Scripture, to go look at why did he add an eighth day? It's a question. We need to ask that question and answer it. The Shemini Atzeret then represents the completion of one cycle. It's the completion of one cycle. And the beginning of another new cycle. So it completes one. So the way it works is, say if we count on Shabbat, the Holy Convocation, day one. That would be on the 15th. So we start that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Then what comes next? Well, really it would be what, though? In the one. So one is eight, but it's the reason he says on the eighth day, because it's a continuation. But in reality, it's what? It's one. So keep that in mind. So one and eight are akin in this particular feast. It's because it's a new beginning. So keep that in mind. So, according to God's plan, another new cycle, according to God, it represents a new beginning. This new beginning requires rain. requires rain. I mean, we might be right on time here.
Yeah.
Huh? I mean, it's something. So the Shamayim, how many has ever heard me say that? The Shamayim of the heavens also is tied into the rain. Or the Shamini or Aseret. Think about that. So these things are all kind of flowing together. Requires rain, a type of Spirit of God poured out in order to produce a new crop and a new harvest. How many ready for an outpouring? Let me tell you that the outpouring is more significant in individuals than it is in the congregation. It would be nice to have it while we're all together. But we're going to get that. That's a give me if it happens individually. That's automatic. And so can you imagine if you personally all experienced this 8th day, a new beginning and an outpouring, a fresh rain from God in your life individually, where you have this new sense, an adoration toward the Most High. And we bring that collectively together in the same room. Then what happens? You have a real, I want to call it a real move of God. Because you can have a move by a collection of people motivated to do something. But you can't call it, how do you know if it's real or not? Is how long is it going to go on? But individually, you're not subject to somebody else pulling back. You can just go. And if we have that understanding, we'll see that we can individually grow stronger and closer and walk in the newness that he has as pertains to the 8th day. That's how some people can sit in the same place, hear the same message, read the same Bible verses, and some be blessed and some not. It's about how you receive, as Brother Troy mentioned a while ago. You got to receive it. You got to act upon those things. So this is important to remember. The Shamini Aseret represents the beginning of a new rainy season, during which the earth is nourished by a rain from the heavens. Spiritually, then, it represents the pouring out anew of God's Holy Spirit and the continuation and expectation of a new harvest for the kingdom of God. Because we are going to have a new harvest. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. Because the way it is designed, you know, sometimes it kind of, revelation kind of just all goes together. And you're left with how you cut it in pieces to try to digest it and understand it. So let me tell you, if you have a millennium, 1,000 years, it means the first resurrection happened, the dead raised, then which are alive and remain, are caught up to meet him in the air. We have this wedding. And now we're living with him, ruling and reigning for 1,000 years. Satan's bound for that 1,000 years. Then he's released and he deceives the nations again. Who's there to deceive? That's the question. Who's the people that he's going to deceive? I submit to you, he's going to deceive those who weren't changed in the first resurrection. Those people are still going to be real people. I mean, real in the sense that they're not going to be changed. They're going to be mortals. They're going to be living and dying and having babies and marrying and the whole works. They can come under the umbrella of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, or they can fight against him. We're going to be rulers and reigners with him, and we're going to, don't you know that you will judge the world? What world? What world are you going to judge if it's all over with? So Satan's released. Those who never come underneath that umbrella of the King of Kings, he deceives the nations again. Then we're going to step into what's going to be the final outpouring, the final rain before the wrath of God, and he destroys Satan, and death is the final thing to put down. Then after that, it all ends. We have new heaven, new earth. That's about as quick as I can tell that story. How many understand it, though, when I'm telling it like that, but you've been reading, you say, okay, that's what that means. But that, listen, it's there for us to know. It's not like some mystery. He doesn't want us to know. The only reason I'm able to tell it to you is because I following the feast days draws the picture. Can you see how, man, I think about this. I go, what were we doing? What were we? It's just like Brother Troy said. He talked about the grace of God that we survived. How many thank God you can survive the nonsense? It's called the grace of God. He's been gracious to us. So I want you to keep that in mind. I'll give you a couple scripture on that. Thus, the festival of God is intimately bound up with the cycles of the earth. The seasons of spring, summer, fall, and winter, they are connected closely and in depth to the agricultural harvest of the year, both spring and fall. But there is a mighty, profound, rich spiritual lesson in all this. And I want to say that again. There's a mighty, profound, rich spiritual lesson in all this. What is this lesson? What do the annual cycles of planting and harvest have to do with God's spiritual plan? What is it? And so I'm going to try to do my best to explain this best way I can. The meaning of the number 8. The meaning of the number 8. And again, this is the shortest version I could put together for tonight's service. The very name of this festival, Chamonix Esaret, literally means the 8th assembly. The 8th assembly. It is the final holy day. It is the final day of holy day of God's holy day plan. So I want you to get that. This is the final day. It's not going to be 9. Whatever's going to happen in that day has got to happen. That's why you got to go all out. Because there's not going to be something else. But whatever doesn't happen in that day, not going to happen. Because the final judgment happens. Also, the great white throne. Because after the 7th day, and we hit the 8th, that's it. Everybody's got all the dead raised. Second resurrection. Every person that ever lived stands before the throne and they judged accordingly. It is the final day of God's holy day plan. However, there is a great significance in the number 8 itself. E.W. Bullinger, in his book, Number in Scripture, explains what the meaning of the symbolism of the number, including the number 8, and he declares this. This is out of E.W. Bullinger's book on the number 8. Now notice this, what he says. I'll give you these meanings. So we have, in Hebrew, the number 8 is Chamonix. From the root, Chamonix. It means to make fat. So the 8 is to make fat. So keep that in mind. Cover with fat. To superabound. That means you could have been abounding all year, but on that day you superabound. As the participle, it means one who abounds in strength, etc. So you can abound in strength. Brother Troy and I abound in physical health. Who wants that? You can abound in more knowledge. More knowledge. You can abound in all those things. So understand, on that, that's what we should be looking forward to. That day's coming. And so we ought to set our hearts toward that, because this is a day to make fat, to cover with fat. Remember, what does the fat represent? Remember he said, don't eat the fat? Why? He said, that's for me. You need to burn it up, but for me, let it, you know, just think about that. And so this is important. And I want you to keep these things in mind as you study for yourself. As a noun, it is super abundantly fertile. So the fertility is super abundant. How many want to have supernatural, super abounding breakthrough happen on the 8th day? That'd be incredible. You know that you can be fertile in soul winning. Who wants that? Fertile in soul winning. Bringing more children into the kingdom of God. So don't just think being fertile, just, you know, it's just me being blessed. You bring children into the world, it's not just your blessing, which it starts that way, but it's their blessing that they get a chance to be a part of this overall plan of God. So, same thing with winning souls. And he goes on, superabundant fertility, being fertile, oil, superabundant in oil, you know, to us, all, you know, not so much. But back then, they needed that. That was the way they had their lights. If they didn't have oil in the lamps, they didn't have no light. Do you think maybe they were pulling hard for the oil? Absolutely. And that was different means of oil that they had, whether it was the fat from the animals or it was the olive oil, which was their main thing. They had to believe God for incredible crops so they can squeeze the oil, have the oil for whatever they needed it for. And so that was very important to them. So that as a numeral, it is the superabundant number. 8 is the superabundant number. As 7 was so called because the 7th day was the day of completion and rest. So 8, as 8, the 8th day, was over and above this perfect completion. This is amazing. I mean, he didn't just like, okay, oh, what else can I do? All right, let's have an extra day. It's not an extra. He's trying to show us something, connecting this stuff in Scripture. So he wants us, he leaves us sometimes just a little thing, and it's up to us to go back and say, okay, what is this? How is this significant? What does this mean? How is this important to me? So 7 is the number of completion. We think 7 days, we're good to go. God says, okay, I know 7, it would have been perfect, right? Because it's a perfect number. It's a complete number. But I'm so God. I'm so Yahweh that I'm going to give you 8. Just because I got so much to give you, I'm going to need an extra day to do it. How many is already seeing that the eighth day is a big deal when it comes to this feast time? Big, big deal. And I never noticed, you know, I mean, I've been studying the numbers in Scripture for quite some time. But man, I dove in this thing, started unpacking this, and I was like, wow. And I'm giving you the mini version tonight. I can tell you that. There's probably 100 slides just on doing it right. At least 100. So, think about this. 7 days was the day of completion and rest. So 8, as the 8th day, was an over and above this perfect completion. It was indeed the first of a new series. So it's the first of a new series. Right? So we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. But 1 would be the eighth day. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. But it's the first day. So it represents a new series. Getting ready. Can you imagine this when we're celebrating? So we're rehearsing this during this festival, but when that 8th day starts then, it's literally going to be a new series. New Jerusalem, the new heaven and new Jerusalem comes down. For Satan and all his demons and all death, sin, sickness, disease, is over for them. And it just starts for us. Can you imagine that? Who wants to be on that team, right? So, how many already seeing how significant this is? So, over and above this perfect completion, and was indeed the first of a new series, as well as being the 8th. Thus, it already represents 2 numbers in 1. The first and the 8th. That's on page 196, if you were interested in I have it on the e-book, that book. But it's interesting. It talks about a bunch of numbers. Even as seven is God's number of perfection or completion, as the Sabbath day is the seventh day of the week, which completes the and perfects the week, so eight is the same as the first day of the next week. But counting from the day of the previous week, thus it represents clearly a new beginning. The eighth day represents a new beginning. So it's not the end of something, but the beginning of something. Isn't that just like God? We come to the feast that we're celebrating last, and we're going to have a space of time before it starts again. And he says, oh, I'm not going to start. Okay, we can't end on an end, so we're going to end on a beginning. Just like God. An example of eight used in this connection in the scripture is the fact that, as Peter tells us, there were eight souls in the ark. How many? Eight souls in the ark of Noah who began the new world after the flood. How many see where this is going? You ever wondered why eight? Instead of four? Because he connects everything. There's nothing that God doesn't connect, and he don't just do things by chance or happens to. These are all planned out things. It's a plan in place. We read of the time when the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by what? See the connection? Saved by water. So when we represent, what are we saying? It represents the rain, the water that comes. They were saved by water. What happened to the rest? They were destroyed by water. Not everybody is going to be happy about the eighth day. Because that day, there'll be a destruction of all those. There'll be a judgment. Everyone's called out. The great white throne judgment. Judgment of all those who was against God. That's going to be a bad day for them. But those who are following the principles and instructions of Yeshua, they're the King of Kings. It's going to be an incredible day. So what water does to some, the others, they live. So how many see the connection there? Very important. And use this in your study. That's 1 Peter 3:20. You can do some of that on your own time. Interestingly, in the future temple of God described in Ezekiel, we find that there were seven steps that led into the outer court. Seven steps lead to the outer court. So go to Ezekiel. I don't have a slide for the scripture, but I know I can tell you, and you could go back later and do it. But you may have not read this in a while, and I don't want to just be telling you this. I want to show it to you. Ezekiel chapter 40. How many been enjoying the Torah portions? How many learning? See, did you see the goal? We're going to get through the scripture. We're going. All of us, we're going through the scripture together, and we're going to pick up things that maybe we never got on our own. And wait till we get to all these scriptures. Because everything that we're reading, we're going to get to it eventually in the Torah portion. We're going to cover these scriptures. So it's amazing. So Ezekiel 40, interesting here, what's being said. I'm not going to read the entirety of it, because really you could read the whole chapter, the whole 40th chapter. But it's describing something. In 40, chapter 22, chapter 40, verse 22, its windows and its porches and its palm trees ornaments had the same measurement as the gate which faced toward the east. And it was reached by seven steps, and its porch was in front of them. It was reached by how many steps? Seven steps. Why would God use seven steps there? Because it signifies a completion of something. Seven represents the perfect and the completion of something. Verse 26, it says, there were seven steps going up to it, and its porches were in the front of them, and it had palm trees ornaments on its side pillars, one on each side. Now look at verse 31. 31, its porches were toward the outer court, and the palm tree's ornaments were on its side pillars, and its stairway had 8 steps. So what is that? However, there were 8 steps that led from the outer court to what? The inner court. 8 represents us going from where? The outer court to where? The inner court. You see? It all ties in. Now, but what chance you think that's an accident or some coincidence that Yahweh is putting the plan together, giving his vision to Ezekiel, and he says, listen, to go into the outer court, 7 steps. But when you come in the inner court, 8 steps. Because when you step in the inner court, you're stepping into something new. It's a new beginning. That's why he said that. Isn't that amazing? So it just goes on in verse 34. Its porches were toward the outer court. The palm tree's ornaments were on its side and on each side. And its stairway had 8 steps. In verse 37. And its side pillars were toward the outer court. And the palm trees and ornaments were on its side. And on its side, and its stairway had 8 steps. So you can read the entirety of it. The first 7 led from the labor to rest. Labor to rest. What's the Shabbat for? Labor 1, labor 2, labor 3, labor 4, labor 5, labor 6. Rest on 7. Right? How many see that? This is simple stuff. It's hidden in there sometimes. It feels like, well, you know, but it's just taking the time to look at it and you go, wow. And you can sit down and for hours you're going through this stuff. And it just goes on and on and on. Hundreds of scripture. Hundreds tying this in. So the first 7 led from labor to rest, but the 8th led to from rest to intimate fellowship with God in pure worship. Whoa, man. I'm so God is, look, when Brother Troy hit it dead on. I'm so thankful for the grace that we're finding this out ahead of time. So, 7 is from labor to rest, but 8 is from rest, which we're going to experience a rest. Because of the millennium. How many think you're going to be kind of strung out during 1,000 years with Jesus? You ain't going to be strung out about nothing. There are going to be other people who's going to have to submit to his rules and regulations because he's going to set up a kingdom. And he's going to be a king over that kingdom. But the ones who are in the first resurrection, you're not going to be like, you know, nobody's going to be taking, what's the medicine that you take when you, what? That girl right there is quick. when you stressed out? I don't know what it is. Huh? I don't tell me what y'all used to do. I ain't asked that. Well, anyway, let me get back on track here. But you won't have none of that. There'll be no need for that. You're not going to be doing in that. Why? Because you're going to feel the peace of God like you've never felt before because he's going to be there with the presence of the Lord through Yeshua HaMashiach being King of Kings. You're not going to be stressed out about anything. So you're going to go from rest. Can it get better than that? 8 day. Think about that. If you think, what I talked about the finale. It's a finale. It gets better than 1,000 years with Yeshua HaMashiach. I just wanted to get you kind of thinking about that. How can it be better? Because there'll be no insurrection at all. There'll be no more Satan and no more death. All that will be behind, punished. And it'll be Yahweh himself. When Yeshua turns it back over to him. Can you imagine that? Wow. So I'm hopefully the seventh day leads from labor to rest. The eighth led from rest to intimate fellowship with God in pure worship. Pure worship. Wow. The consecration of Aaron and his sons as priests of God requires 7 days of being set apart. In Leviticus 8:35. 7 days they were set apart. But it was on the eighth day that they were anointed as priests. They were set apart for seven, but on the what day? The eighth day. And he called it the eighth day. He could have called it the first day of the week. Is it the first day of the week? Yes. You see, it is. But what he's pushing for us to get from Scripture is on the eighth day I anoint you to be the priest. Can you imagine the eighth day what's going to happen? So you can't imagine. God, just think about this. Dead raising and people which are alive and remain are changed and you're immortal. You go. That's it. That's not the finale. How many see how we going? You want to go deep in this thing? We going in there. How many know we learning stuff we just didn't even know yet? Tonight. That's how incredible God is. That's not the finale. The finale is whatever he's going to do that can make immortality be better, he's going to do it. It's absolutely amazing. I believe as studying this and what I come across is I can't get over the part God himself. Let me tell you. The first time since Adam, we're going to have an encounter with him like it was then. Since that, it was through agency. That's what it was, through agency. He would send his angel. Can I tell you, on the eighth day, he's not sending his angel. I read the scripture and it says, and Yahweh himself. That's finale. That's finale material right there. Amen? So, the eighth day they were anointed. They were anointed as priests, thus beginning a new ministry and office before God and the people. So it started a new ministry on the eighth day. David was the eighth son of Jesse. David was the eighth son of Jesse, thus also beginning a new dynasty in Israel when he became king. It was a new dynasty. Because what throne or what tabernacle or tent is it going to be recovered in the millennium? The throne of who? The throne of David. Not Solomon. Not Saul. You can go down. We can go down the list. None of those. What throne is going to be recovered in the millennium? Throne of David. He was the eighth son of Jesse and the beginning of a new dynasty. And that's exactly what it is, a new dynasty in Israel when he became king. And you can read that in the scriptures here, 1 Samuel 16, 10 through 11 and 2 Samuel 7, 12. Bullinger adds concerning the significance of this number 8. And this is just some extra stuff. It is 7 plus 1. Hence, it is the number specially associated with resurrection and regeneration and the beginning of a new era or order. So 7 plus 1, all of these definitions from a biblical standpoint is tied to that 8. When the whole earth was covered with a flood, it was Noah, the eighth person. In 2 Peter 2:5, I gave you that, who stepped out onto a new earth to commence a new order of things. Isn't that something? So when the earth is flooded and the flood goes away, and they got 8 people in the ark, how many people outside the ark? None. So First, he steps out for a new beginning right there. That's why everything comes from those three sons and the wives. And there's a whole lesson that I'm looking into now. We're putting together. Let me just tell you, any message that we're doing in any area, feast time or whatever, there's three or four more going on at the same time, because I see in the study, I write a note down and I see the connection in this particular part, the connection that I made. If we have three sons and their wives, right? How many that makes? That's six. And then Noah and his wife, that makes eight. And they were, Noah was found perfect in the sight of God. So we have that DNA was perfect. How do we get a second incursion of the Nephilim? Through the wives. Somehow. And that's a study right there. It's very interesting. Because we have a second incursion. We got Nephilim. So we'll take some time to look into that at a later time. In between these feasts, we got all kind of time to look at that. When the whole earth was recovered with the flood, it was Noah, the eighth person. So think about that. He steps in a new regenerated world. Hence, too, circumcision was to be performed on the what day? Eighth day. Jesus was brought for circumcision on the what? Eighth day. Think about that. Genesis 17:12, you can look that up. And he had to go on the eighth day because he had broke that command. So he went. The firstborn was to be given to Yahweh on the eighth day. Exodus 22:29-30. On the eighth day. What's given? So it's also not only him doing, but we're doing. On the eighth day, there should be no other day that we do more than that day. Oh boy. How many's tired already? Tired. Wait, listen, this is what it says. So the firstborn was to be given to Yahweh on the eighth day. So if you're to give on the eighth day. That firstborn. On the eighth day. Think about that. Let's look at the plan of God unveiled. I'll give you just a couple more little things, a couple more scripture, and then we're going to close right here. As we have already seen in this discussion of the previous holy days of God, the fall festivals picture the whole plan of God. So we looked at that. The first, the Rosh Hashanah, which is a picture of call to repentance, which is the trumpets of warning, followed by the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur, which pictures the judgment day when Messiah returns to judge the world. This holy day is followed by the seven-day feast of Sukkot, or ingathering, which is pictured in the millennial reign of Christ for 1,000 years, in Revelations 20, verse 1 through 4. You can read that on your own time. It's interesting. So we got that picture. Then we got the eighth day. The last day of the feast, the seventh or final day, called Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, the great Rosh Hashanah, pictures the final day of salvation or harvest. Because on that day, also, there are going to be some who make it. Some who make it. It's a final day. Pictures the final day of salvation or harvest, the great white throne judgment, which occurs at the close of the millennium. And you can read that Revelations 5:1-14. So think about that. As you're reading these texts, we're not going to take the time to read them tonight. But I wanted to point something out to you in this, how significant this is. You take some time to read those verses. That eighth day represents that. So what we're doing is we're rehearsing that. So if anybody asked you, let me tell you, it's hard to pick one over the other. I mean, Passover is incredible, right? Because it represents the fact that he died. He's the lamb sacrificed for us. I mean, that one right there. I don't know how you could top that. It's absolutely incredible. I'm just giving to you what the Lord says. He says the eighth day is the culmination. It's the finale of everything that we done. So I hope that you see that. That we got some time. This year, we've been so blessed to gain some information and understanding. But I want to encourage you that this next time event that we come up against and we go through the cycle again, let's go all in with this. Make it a point that you put these days on your calendar and you say these days are important days. They're significant days. And I'm going to challenge the church, and you'll hear me say this over and over again because I got plenty of services to do that in leading up to that. When I give the dates out, that you make it a point to say, what would it be like if every person set that time aside as an offering to the Lord? And we almost shouldn't see it that way, but we could use it in that sense because He commands us to. But can you imagine what would be the result of our family units with lost loved ones, sickness, disease, generational curses? What would be the result if we started just doing Bible things in Bible ways? And who would want to take a challenge where you say, how many of you have ever been, you know what, I'm just tired. Some of you are already experiencing it. There was, right before we started this and started really speaking about these things, you was up against a wall. It was almost like, man, I can't get a breakthrough. And then you started having breakthrough. I hope that you start equating that to the fact that you started submitting to the things of God. That's what happens. But can you imagine all of us saying, you know what, we're going to make this thing a big deal. So we're going to do all out. I want you to start thinking all out finale for Wednesday. And we'll have the main course. I'll get the stuff, get the ladies over here. We'll get that prepared Wednesday morning, get all that stuff prepared and the meats. And then you do something. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about it. You get in your cabinet, and if you don't have something that's nice, something that you hadn't used in a long time. Maybe it's something you use, but you use it for other occasions. And the reason you used it because you wanted it to say something. You wanted whatever you was putting in that to say something about your display of what you was trying to, the message you were sending to whoever was invited as a guest to whatever you were doing. If you don't have that, get something. Go out. Like Brother Josh said, we used to get in our car and go as far as we could. Because if we was going to get what we wanted, because we wanted to use what we was getting to send a message to somebody. To let them know that I'm doing good. I'm involved. I'm really involved in this activity. And you do. You go all out. And you spend the money and you... And who could take some time in the next couple of days? Because you only got a couple of days. Next year you have the whole year. After the 8th day you got the whole year. But you only have a couple of days and you're going to put something together. You're going to think of something. And just think about it this way. I'm invited to the biggest party that was ever put on. And Yeshua HaMashiach is hosting it. And the honored guest is Yahweh Himself. Now, on a material aspect, there's nothing we can do that would give any accent to the fact that He'll be there. But He's not asking us to do that. He's asking us to do our best. To do our best on that day as we present ourselves. And so you get something. And we're going to set up tables in that foyer right there. And when we walk in, we're going to know that something big is going on. Now you've seen our Passover feast. We've set up the table and it's nice. You know, all the setting. And it isn't much. That was not expensive stuff, but the way you do it and the care you take, it makes the display look nice. That's what our goal is. We're not talking about amounts. We're talking about care, the consideration you put into it. You can go get something for very inexpensive and you put care into it. It does something to the room. So I want you to arrange. And this will be something annually that you can add to or whatever. But you're going to arrange your own display of an addition to the main course. Whether it be in, mostly in sweets, but anything else you want to do, be all right. So, but it could incorporate different.